side note. With deep, unhurried wing beats, a dozen majestic swans fly in a straight line, their immense white bodies glistening in the golden sunlight of a November morning. As they fly closer, their long necks fully outstretched, the swans' syncopated honks reveal their identity. These are trumpeter swans. The flock lands in a plowed field to forage for remnant potatoes and other waste crops. With an almost 7-foot wingspan, trumpeter swans are among the largest of all waterfowl. At nearly 25 pounds, they are among the heaviest of all flying birds. Now, a second formation of swans flies in to forage near the trumpeters, but these swans announce themselves with a different voice. Just a bit smaller than the trumpeters, their distinctive whoops tell us they are tundra swans, a different species. Both species of swan fly south each fall from nesting sites in Canada and Alaska. Trumpeter swans winter mostly in the Pacific Northwest, while tundra swans can be found along both coasts and at a variety of inland sites in the West. You can see these spectacular birds on their wintering grounds anytime between now and the middle of March. For BirdNote, I'm Mary McCann.
Hi, everyone. I'm Charlotte, and welcome to Call Me Negotiator, where we explore cross-cultural business negotiation and how you can find opportunity in the global market. We're live every Thursday from 12 to 1 p.m. Vancouver time on CJSF 90.1 FM or listen live at cjsf.ca. You can also watch our WeChat live stream under 野蛮生长夏洛特. And today we're having Nicole as our guest. If you've been listening, you will know, or you've already know, and you already know Nicole very well because she is our guest for our first chapter. We will call the chapter of Nicole, and we had a lot of fun conversation and guided us to find the potential market in Caribbean because Nicole is from Jamaica and her friends, she has connection from in Barbados, and Chinese people are just so good at manufacturing and providing good products and looking for the markets and build together. Right, Nicole?
Absolutely. Thanks again for having me on. Looking forward to the conversation today.
Right, so last time we talked about, we're just randomly exploring, hey, what's the event that you're holding, the business you've been doing, because your business is cross, I would not say just cross-cultural, but also interdisciplinary in multi-industry, like food, herbs, tea, clothing, and you make them all come together to celebrate this. And through there, we found the potential opportunity from your home country, Jamaica, and also countries like Barbados. Mm-hmm. That's just amazing. Mm-hmm. I would say I lack of knowledge about that. Please educate me.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm Jamaican Canadian. So my parents are Jamaican, but I was raised in Toronto, which I feel like is the next best thing because it's a huge Jamaican population in Toronto. And when I decided to become an entrepreneur, one of the things that I did with both of my businesses actually was pull from my roots. So both of the businesses that I've had dealt with food, and I have created menus and cuisine that is what I call Jamaican fusion, because it takes a combination of my background, Jamaican background, along with the fact that I was raised in Canada. Mm. So that's kind of where the bringing my culture and being connected to Jamaica really came to be. However, I didn't know Jamaica much. Mm. Crazy. Like I went a couple times as a child, but like I mentioned, like being raised in Toronto is the next best thing because the community that I was raised in had a very large Jamaican population as it is. So my parents really had a very traditional Jamaican life in Canada to begin with for many, many years. And I feel like that is one of the reasons why we didn't go back as much, because it's not. I think what they missed about Jamaica the most was the weather, but in terms of the people, the food, the energy, the music, the vibes, they were still able to get a lot of that in Toronto when I was a kid. So when I got connected to Jamaica, it really wasn't until 2023, to be honest. And that's when I went there for a conference. I was speaking at a conference, and that's when I got to see a lot of other professionals in the industry that I was in, and really got to connect with people in Jamaica so that I could see if there was a potential to do business. So that was like one of the first trips that I made. I only stayed a few days and was able to make a lot of connections from there.
Wow, that's really, I would say that I'm just so amazed by the experience, because I definitely appreciate people who have been to different places or even learn things from books or videos, learning about different cultures, because that really shaped our mindset, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And there is differences even in the way that you do business on a North American perspective, or even on a Canadian perspective, right? Is different than the way business can sometimes be done in Jamaica. I can't speak for the other islands because I'm still learning. I'm still ready to explore. But for Jamaica, what I learned, because I have done some collaborations there since 2023, and I'm still very open to continue to do business there. Right now, they are, suffering through the aftermath of Hurricane Melissa.
Yeah.
So it is going to take many years to rebuild. However, my long-term goal with my business, as you mentioned, it is multifaceted. It has a lot of different angles to it. But the long-term goal for my business is to operate a villa. And so that is really the main, the end goal for what I'd like to do with the business. So what I've done in terms of my travels is to stay at various villas to start to do my market research, to figure out what is on the market, to figure out what is the price point, to figure out what is the service, so that I can get an idea as to what do I like and what do I don't like? What do I want to offer with my villa when it launches, maybe in 5 years or longer, whatever? What do I want to offer that makes it unique from what I have went to, what I've visited already? And it wasn't just by me going to the villas, but I actually got the opportunity to talk to the owners and find out, how did they get into the business? Like, did they buy the property outright? I stayed at one villa where the couple didn't actually buy out the property. They actually rented the villa, and the landlords have given them permission to run a business out of it. So it made me realize that there's a lot of different unique ways that you can get to have your dream actualized. It doesn't always look like you have to have the money per se. Sometimes it is the connections that you have. And one thing I learned about places like Jamaica is that they really like to work with you based on your reputation and things of that nature. They're not necessarily that quick to, make deals with you if it's the first time that they've met you.
Right.
So when I went in 2023, I have since then, I think I've been back to Jamaica like probably six times since 2023. I tend to go 2 to 3 times a year. And over time, like now, I've been able to make connections with people out there. Right. The rebuild is currently happening, but Jamaica has also experienced hurricanes in the past, and they've been able to rebuild. So I know that that time is going to happen again. And so I've kind of planted the seeds with some folks to kind of continue to build connections. And now I'm looking at other places, right? Like, the Caribbean is vast. There's a lot of different islands that have different laws and different, potential for economic growth that I am looking into. And we can talk about some of the things that I like to do to figure out if I want to go there or not, right?
We definitely want to explore that, because I'm pretty sure not everybody has that experience, but a lot of people nowadays with AI as employees, we get, our normal people get know so many chances to really grow, build our business, but we do need some knowledge, experience to see what are the pitfalls. And from what you shared, the information that I got, the first big one is that they do have the some natural disaster that happened.
Yes, and it's something to make sure you consider that, because it's a reality.
Well, but I have to say, well, the technology really helps us to overcome some difficulties,
yes,
and not just to surrender, but find solutions.
Yes.
So as Chinese, as a Chinese, I think people already know that we're just crazy about building the road and the infrastructures. Mm-hmm. Those things are just very basic, and those are the foundation of the development.
Absolutely.
Of the current China. So I think I read something that they already have collaborations to build those infrastructures in Jamaica by Chinese people, Chinese maybe from supported by the Chinese government, but mostly the business people, because somehow some people think business people could be sneaky, yet they could be very calculative towards to their time and money, but also they're finding every way to find the lowest cost to do the best thing.
Right.
So I love about that.
Yes.
And another thing that you mentioned is that building reputation,
yes,
and building connections, so that we get to know. We cannot be like, hey, there's a need, and you know, let's say I'm Chinese business person. I have tons of experience, so I'm just going to go there and build things.
Yes.
And I know that doesn't work, because
right,
you have to build that connection, because we're all emotional creatures as
exactly,
human beings.
Exactly.
So I want to know that how can we make sure that by building connections and reputations and gaining trust, we can we can feel more secured and also safe in a foreign country where we don't know, as you know, we want to focus on the business, but then the Caribbean is a new place to, let's say, if I wanted to do something, if I, you know, like business people in Vancouver, they wanted to do something, then how can we figure that out and solve that problem?
Right. So for me, how I started to build the connections was, to be honest, Instagram.
Mm.
So being online is I started to search for content creators or influencers or chefs, for example. As you know, part of my business surrounds food.
Mm.
So I would start to search up the profiles of chefs and influencers and realtors, guest house owners, villa owners, things of that nature, so that I could start to build connections that way. In Jamaica, they use social media a lot. It is very, very well used. Instagram, TikTok, all of the things. But for me, Instagram is what I used to first start, because I could get to see their profile. I could get to see their engagement. I get to see the type of events that they've done and see if it aligns with me. And once I check off all of those things, then, you know, I send the friend request. Sometimes I will send an a DM just to let them know, you know, I'm reaching out. I'm going to maybe be in Jamaica in the next few months. I'd love to meet you. I would love to maybe come to your farm, or depending on what they do. And that's how I kind of started. Even before that, though, I utilized like platforms like YouTube to figure out what country I even wanted to explore. Right. So I would go to YouTube, put in the country, and then just start watching videos of people in that country to see, do I like the vibe? Do I like the energy? Before I even go further, before I even start going to Instagram and things like that. So I started with YouTube. But now lately, I have been using TikTok, actually, because what I like about TikTok is that I find that when you go to YouTube, it's a very professional videos that you're going to see, right?
Yeah.
People have spent a lot of time with editing, camera work, all of that. So it's a very polished looking piece. Whereas when you go to TikTok, sometimes they'll go live and they're just driving in the country. and they're or they're walking on the street in the downtown and stuff like that, right? So you get to hear their dialect.
Yeah.
You get to hear, can I understand the dialect? Because some people say, oh, they can't understand Jamaicans because they speak patois. But sometimes I'm listening to the dialect of other countries and it's very difficult understand for me. So I have to figure, okay, how long do I think I'm going to be able to train my ear to understand? Then you have to think about, like, some of the Caribbean islands also have, like, an influence of French, for example. They speak Creole, or they can have an influence of Spanish. So there's that in the language as well. So that's how I kind of decide what is the route that I want to go. Mm-hmm. But I find that TikTok is so great because they'll be going live. They're on the street. You get to hear other talking. You get to see them engaging with other people. You get to see the hustle and bustle of the community. But then it's not perfect. Right? It's not a polished, perfect video that you're watching. So then it allows you to feel like, do I want to know more?
Yeah. Loved it. I really appreciate those general information collection. So the new way to do the research is like having fun, being engaged, but while away knowing the place.
Absolutely.
I would say I used to live in the States, in New York, and there are so many Jamaicans there or people from Caribbeans or other places. And here, Vancouver is so diverse. Mm-hmm. So not to mention, you're definitely not the, the opposite of the majority.
Right.
Yeah. So I think there are so many people who are listening to you, especially people from Caribbean areas. People like Jamaicans grew up in Canada.
Yes.
They also want to know, hey, how can I find the opportunities? Now I understand how to do this research, how to find these things that from the social media. But then the real connection that we can only build in person, like if I go to Jamaica, I would feel so much better now because I know you and you tell me somebody and I feel okay.
Yes.
It's better for us to get connection because we both know you, we both trust you, and that will be better. So yeah, like Chinese business people wanted to get into the market, what are the concerns we should have and how can we know, you know, like build something like that?
Yeah. So I feel like one of the things that it's not always that easy in Vancouver per se, because the Caribbean community isn't the largest, but these groups are still there. So even I've lived in Alberta and then I'm from Ontario, right? So when I moved to Alberta, one of the main things that I did was I looked for the Jamaican Canadian Association.
Right.
There's always one. And just like there's a Chinese Canadian Association, right?
Exactly,
or something of that nature. So there tends to be some kind of association or community organization for almost every culture that you can imagine, right? So that was one of the first things that I did. And I was able to not only connect with Jamaicans, but I would look and see, is there a Trinidadian association? Is there an Antiguan association? Stuff like that. And so that's how I got to understand some other Caribbean people, right? Because yes, we're all similar, but we eat, our food is a little bit different. Mm. Our dialect is a little bit different.
Yeah.
Some of our traditions are a little bit different. So I found that being in Canada, I would connect with the Canadian organizations and the Canadian groups to start to build connections that way. The other platform that is really great for Canadians to connect, even like a Canadian Jamaican to connect or a Canadian Caribbean person to connect with each other for business purposes, is actually Facebook. So Facebook has a lot of groups that are out there. Sometimes they're groups for expats. Like when I was in Jamaica last year, and I was actually going to be living there. And so I was there for a few months, and I was part of a lot of expat groups. So the expat groups don't necessarily include Jamaicans. It will include anybody who is not Jamaican living in Jamaica.
Wow.
So they could be Korean. They could be from Japan. Because in Jamaica, the major city, Kingston, is an international sort of city, right? So that is where like all the international schools are. That is where the universities are. A lot of people who are there for like business, that type of thing, is in Kingston. So you find these Facebook groups that are expat groups, and those are great groups even if you haven't moved to the country that you're interested in, but maybe you're interested in moving there. I'm a part of so many expat groups. I'm like Costa Rica, Panama, Barbados, like St. Lucia, like I'm part of all of them, just to kind of see what is going on. And then you get to hear about other entrepreneurs that are there and what business are they doing?
Right.
How did they get started? And people kind of tell their stories in the group and they ask for advice and things like that. So that is one of the things that, like, you don't have to be the ethnicity of that country, but with the expat groups, they're very, very valuable to join for countries that you're interested in getting more information about.
Oh, wow. That's so helpful. Mm-hmm. And I would say I personally, I'm just going to jump, like, skip all those groups and knowing you. You're the hub. Like, we're the hub right now. So, like, you're listening to the Comedy Negotiator at CJSF 90.1, and we're talking about the opportunities and market and how to get into the new places and making money and the combination collaboration between Chinese people and also Chinese people in China, Chinese people in Vancouver, in New York, like everywhere, and we all diligent people wanted to make money, doing business, do good things. And then my guest, Nicole from Caribbean, from Jamaica, and we're talking about the potential to even get more collaboration. And we're building this group that we're sharing all this information, having people together to know what's going on, what's the opportunity, who needs what. So if you are interested in anything or joining or receive our message, just write to your phone, please send some email to callmenegotiator@gmail.com. And now we're going to continue, but before we continue, let's listen to two beautiful songs. The first, let's listen to Ivani Bonita by Carl G and Tour Guide by Shima.
Experimentar, no busca nada en nadie, ella es una mujer completa. Piensa que
With deep, unhurried wing beats, a dozen majestic swans fly in a straight line, their immense white bodies glistening in the golden sunlight of a November morning. As they fly closer, their long necks fully outstretched, the swans' syncopated honks reveal their identity. These are trumpeter swans. The flock lands in a plowed field to forage for remnant potatoes and other waste crops. With an almost 7-foot wingspan, trumpeter swans are among the largest of all waterfowl. At nearly 25 pounds, they are among the heaviest of all flying birds. Now, a second formation of swans flies in to forage near the trumpeters, but these swans announce themselves with a different voice. Just a bit smaller than the trumpeters, their distinctive whoops tell us they are tundra swans, a different species. Both species of swan fly south each fall from nesting sites in Canada and Alaska. trumpeter swans winter mostly in the Pacific Northwest, while tundra swans can be found along both coasts and at a variety of inland sites in the west. You can see these spectacular